Bart, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourself, Tom?
Good, good, and which has a whole new significance when we people ask each other that question. Now, boy, what did you think about your weekend numbers? And I know you do not like seeing press releases from your office talking about people's deaths as you did yesterday.
No, we've reported 5 deaths over the last 3 days, so that is not the kind of numbers we want to report, no.
You know, what was interesting, and we saw these CDC guidelines, these advisories, change last week, and it was reflected in your press release that it wasn't something you were embracing in your department.
No, and so there was a lot of misreporting of what the CDC actually did. So they did not change the recommendation for the 14-day quarantine period. They offered up 2 different options for health departments to do based upon local circumstances. But the recommendation from the CDC is still a 14-day quarantine, and that's what we think is most protective of public health, and that's what we're going to continue to do, at least for right now, here in Jackson County.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You pointed out in the press release that if you had followed those changes or advisories, that you would have been releasing, what was it, between 30 and 150 or 120 people who were still contagious back into the community? Was that right?
Yeah, if we use those CDC percentages that they provided in November alone, we would have released, if we'd have been working on that 7-day mark, we would have released 54 to 131 potentially infectious people. And that's just a little too much for us to let go of.
Especially when you're looking at your active cases from yesterday, 434, you're looking after a lot of people.
Yeah, that's certainly true. We think that we're doing a good job with contact tracing. We're not getting as much cooperation as we used to from the public, so we have more people that are not providing the list of their contacts. They don't want their friends and family members to be subject to quarantine, but what they don't realize is that doesn't protect them. That doesn't keep them from getting sick now that they've been exposed, and it doesn't keep them from exposing other people.
And I think that's particularly relevant when you're saying not seeing as much cooperation from the general public with what happened on Thanksgiving, because if we're going to see a Thanksgiving surge, it's going to be, well, now, isn't it?
Yeah, and we started to see cases associated with Thanksgiving last week. We'll continue to see the ripple effects this week as those people that maybe got exposed and got sick at Thanksgiving are now infecting their household members.
You know, I think that's particularly interesting when you start looking at this Thanksgiving number and realize that we've really kind of come to, it's so prolific, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, that workplaces are dealing with this on a new level. How can we keep the doors open, and what are the guidelines to return to work? There seems to be some confusion when it comes to that, and the reason why is I don't know where I got it, don't know how long I've had it. You've heard these storylines.
We have. people are hearing different things from different places. They really need to listen to their local health departments, they should be following the CDC guidance, and that's going to dictate when people get released from quarantine and when they're able to return to work.
Yeah, who's a good person to call if somebody's managing 40, 50 people in some arena and you have one person sick and they came to work but they didn't know it, they were asymptomatic? Should they just call you, Bart?
They can talk to their local health department. They can also talk to their employer. Their employer may have been in communication with the health department and discussed the matter. Between one of those parties, you should be able to get some answers.
You know, it's interesting because one of the things that's been brought to my attention by other employers is you can't say who's sick unless they tell you it's okay because of HIPAA regs. And people go, well, who's sick? Well, I can't tell you. Well, then how do I know if I was close to them? That, to me, has been an item that I've heard quite a bit about.
Yeah, that is problematic. You want to protect your employees if you're an employer, and you want to give them the best information. But you do have to kind of couch that in some code language, so you're not revealing who it was, but also giving them enough information to know when and where they may have been potentially exposed.
Where are people getting exposed right now, Bart? Where is it coming from?
Well, and there's a difference between places of exposure and places where we can definitely tie cases back to. So when we do contact tracing with somebody who's positive and we call them and they say, well, I've been these 10 places since I became symptomatic, those are all places of potential exposure. That doesn't mean somebody definitely got it from them at those locations, but those are potential places of exposure. And so, when we call somebody and they list out where they've been, it's usually work. They've been to, the grocery store, all the places that you and I would go. Sometimes that's restaurants and bars. Sometimes that's church. So there's all types of locations where people say they have been.
You know, there's, I think, this fatigue level we're at because so much effort was put in early, and then we got to see the big numbers, right? So there's a fatigue issue here. People are not as vigilant as they once were. They're kind of worn out. So, and then, you talked about this in the form of cooperation. I think the psychological predisposition for a lot of people is really they're wore out. They want it to be over. They were told to do all these things early on. And now here we are in this situation. I think it left people confused and angry, a little confused and angry is my thought.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. And now that we have vaccines getting closer to being distributed, I think people think they're at the end point, and so they are even more letting their guard down. But it's probably going to be late April or so before vaccines become available to the general public. They'll be phasing those in, and there'll be priority groups that those vaccines are delivered to. But probably late April before just anybody can start getting vaccinated. So we're not quite there yet. People need to really buckle down at this point, not give up, but really buckle down. They're expecting deaths across the nation to accelerate over the next month or two. And, if every day that we go by means 2,000 Americans are dead, then that should make people take pause, and that they should do what they can to keep their fellow Americans alive.
109,000 doses of the vaccine coming to Illinois. SIH Carbondale will be receiving 2,925 of those doses for distribution to counties. What is your role in that distribution, Bart?
So actually the vaccine would come to the health department, and then we would either vaccinate people ourselves or we would redistribute to places like SIH and other medical providers.
All right. So because when I read that, it said the Belleville News Democrat reported that SIH would be receiving those doses, but it goes to the health department.
At least with the Pfizer vaccine, that's how the distribution is being handled.
People now,
and that will be the first one out of the gate.
People now asking themselves, will they take it? And I notice more and more online, hey, let's take the survey. Would you take the vaccine? A wide variety of answers and conditions.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's still early to be asking people that question because they really haven't seen the safety information yet. I mean, I think, of course, there's people that are going to take it no matter what. There's people that are going to not take it no matter what. And then you've got a lot of people there in the middle who really need information from people that they can trust, organizations they trust. They need to see that safety information, and that really needs to get out there soon so people can begin to make those determinations and decide whether or not they want to get vaccinated.
Here's a question for you that came in via our messaging service this morning. Good morning. Could you ask Mr. Haxton if he thinks it's fair that all these rules are imposed on the general public and businesses, but college sports and pro sports can still eat together, travel together, and play together? I think what we're talking about here, Jeffrey, who sent this message in, is, some people perceive a double standard in how we treat people.
Sure, and I understand that people question that. you know, that's not anything that I have any control over, so I'm not going to get involved in answering that. But I think my focus is on making sure that the general public is safe, and that's the work that we're doing every day to try and support that.
So we've been down this line, you and I, with a lot of conversational topics. When it comes to going back to work, there's issues. It's not just a long-term care facility issue anymore. I think that's an important point to make. As you look to the coming days, what will you be watching to determine whether at some point we can start thinking about a light at the end of the tunnel that isn't necessarily vaccine, but seeing lower numbers in the community?
Yeah, seeing low numbers would definitely be a welcome sight. We did see a dip in the third week of November, right before Thanksgiving, and then last week, you know, our numbers went back up. I expect them to probably be high again this week, based upon those ripple effects that I mentioned from Thanksgiving exposures, and then we have, of course, the Christmas holidays coming up, and we'll probably see more of the same. I think people just need to, if you're going to get together with family members that are outside of your household or your normal bubble, then it's even more important that you be wearing a face mask when you're not eating, trying to distance. Those things can and do work. And so don't be afraid to deploy those practices at your family get-togethers.
Jackson County Health Department Director Bart Hagston. Bart, before I let you go, any final thoughts here in the coming weeks and days? Now, of course, we talked about your anticipation, what you'd like to see, and that, you know, that second week in November, seeing a number dip, but we're seeing record numbers this morning. Let's see here. According to the COVID Tracking Project, 101,487 people hospitalized. I was just looking at the numbers for SIH this morning, and we have 25 at Heron Hospital, 26 at the Memorial Hospital of Carbondale, with two pending cases there. So hospitalizations down a notch, but that's I wouldn't even use anything more severe than the word notch, because they were right against the ceiling all week last week.
Yeah, and I think people tend to think of everybody that's in the hospital as being somebody that is well advanced in their years and maybe not in good health. I just had a friend who got out of the hospital over the weekend. She was in there for 11 days. She's in her early 50s, healthy as a horse, and yet this virus really did a number on her. And so, when the people that I talk to that know people that have been in the hospital or those who have passed away, they get the full grasp of this virus and what it can do. And unfortunately, there's no way to tell, who it's going to have a significant impact on or not. And so that's why we all need to chip in, do our part for the community, and prevent the spread to others.
It's interesting Bart mentions that, because I was reading this article, and it's kind of counterintuitive. This article claimed that people with asthma survived better with COVID-19, and I would have thought it had been the exact opposite when I read that. I kept thinking, can this be true? Kevin just texted me, what can Bart tell us about the course of treatment that is used for COVID in the state of Illinois?
So there's various drugs that are used and various methods of treatment. So there is the remdesivir, which was the first big drug that was approved for treating COVID. So that is being used locally. They're also using things like dexamethasone, which is a common and cheap steroid that's been proven effective for those that are having trouble breathing. Placing patients on their stomach in the hospital, they call that proning. That's been proven effective to help people. So if you're having trouble breathing on your back, they place you over on your belly for a while, and that has been helpful. And so they've learned a lot in the American healthcare system this year by treating COVID patients. So you have people at this point are more likely to live if they go into the hospital, which is great. But we have larger numbers going in, and that means that it's harder to take care of them because of the drain on staff time.